digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
Good afternoon. Those of you who listen to Digging in the Dirt on a regular basis know I like to bring you guests that look at the big picture and guests who are the little guys and gals doing their thing relatively unnoticed, but nonetheless making some change. Some of my big picture guests, which, by the way, can be listened to on the WPKN podcast on SoundCloud, have been people like David Wallace Wells, the author of The Uninhabitable Earth, Jeff Goodell, author of The Water Will Come, and the climate scientist Michael Mann, to name just a few. All important figures fighting to effect change around the climate crisis confronting us today, but my next guest may be more important than all the pundits and politicians put together, because she is only 17 years old and has joined with other like-minded youth around the world to save our planet for future generations. She is Shiye Bastida of Fridays for Future. Welcome, Shiye.
Thank you so much.
So tell us what Fridays for Future is all about.
So Fridays for Future is a youth-led movement. It was started by Greta Thunberg. She started striking on August 20th of 2018 outside of the Swedish parliament. And she is now striking for over 40 weeks to demand that her government enact bold climate action. And that movement has expanded globally, and now we are organizing strikes, big global strikes, to make our governments wake up. In March 15th, we had 1.5 million students striking worldwide. On May 24th, we had 1.9 million students striking. And on September 20th, which is the upcoming strike, we plan to have many, many more people joining us.
Is this going to be a worldwide thing?
Yes, September 20th is a worldwide strike, and it's also intergenerational. So this is a time where we're asking adults to join us, because to address the climate crisis, we need people who can actually vote. We, as students, we don't have voting power, and adults do. But we all have the responsibility to make our voices heard.
So tell me, what compelled you to get involved?
So climate change and the climate crisis is actually very personal to me, because I was born and raised in Mexico, and in 2015, my town suffered from a flooding, and it was the thing that pushed my family out of my town into New York City, as they had a job offering here in the city. So, you know, I did not want to leave my family or my friends or my school, but the instability that we were suffering really pushed me out. And I am lucky enough to have been, to have ended up in this city where I can do so much of my climate justice advocacy.
Have you personally been striking on Fridays?
Yes. So during the school year, right now we're in vacation. So during the school year, I strike on Fridays, and we usually go outside of the UN. And now we've been striking, our team has been striking for over 35 weeks. Even, you know, the climate crisis doesn't go on summer holiday, so we're not going on summer holiday either, and we're still striking during the summer, and we are outside of the UN from 10 to 2 every Friday.
What is it that you and others hope to achieve by striking all these Fridays?
What we know that striking is not going to solve the climate crisis. Like, we know that. But it's going to enable the political mechanisms that can. This is about our generation growing up into a future. It's either going to be conducted by money and power, or you can either choose money and power, or you can choose us, and you can choose yourselves and your grandchildren. So we strike because striking as a word, as a verb, is to stop work in order to force an employer to comply with demands. And striking is a last resort that people use to protect themselves. And that is why we strike. Because why go to school if you're not listening to educated people? Why go to school if we're not going to have a future to work in or to study for? So striking is really a last resort, which exemplifies that the climate crisis is an emergency.
So what do you personally believe is the climate crisis? You know, give me some examples of what you see as the climate crisis, and what do you hope we may avoid by changing our ways?
Some of the things that constitute a climate emergency and a climate crisis is extreme weather patterns. So we just had the hottest summer ever in 125 years, the hottest summer that we've ever had. And right now there's 8 islands that have gone underwater. In 2017, there were over 18 million climate refugees. And by 2050, we're gonna have 143 million climate refugees if we don't reverse the crisis. So it's about immigration, it's about rising sea levels, it's about wildfires. And what I, what I want to achieve is to really reverse that. And as youth, we know that we're not gonna stop fighting. We're not gonna stay silent until the climate crisis is reversed. And it's because it's a generational issue.
Do you see people starting to listen? Are more and more of your generation listening to your message? I mean, look outside today. It's a beautiful spring day. How can people be worried about climate change, climate crisis, on a great day like today?
So this goes more into the systematic effects of the climate crisis. So I would say on a day-to-day basis, days are generally beautiful. Right now we're in the summer. But for example, in the Bronx, there's a highway and there's factories that emit CO2 into the air and pollute the air. And in the Bronx, 17% of adults suffer from asthma, which is 10% higher than the national average. And so this is also about the climate crisis affecting the most vulnerable communities. And that's why we need to bring that narrative to the forefront of the fight that we're in. In regards to my generation, it's hard to get them to pay attention because the system has really, it forces us to be competitive and to, I'm applying to college this year, and that is a huge amounts of pressure. But I know that I cannot be comfortable applying to college and waiting to study environmental studies and political advocacy and international relations. I cannot wait because it's getting too late right now.
Why do you think it's getting too late? How long do you believe we really have?
So the IPCC report came out about a year ago saying that we had 12 years to halve our CO2 emissions if we want to stay below 1.5 degrees of warming. And now we only have 10 years and 5 months to halve our CO2 emissions if we want to stay below that below 1.5 degrees of warming from pre-industrial levels. And right now we're at 1 degree of warming, and a half degree is a huge difference. So we really want to keep the fossil fuels in the ground and, teach about the climate crisis in schools. So that's why this is also about time. We really need everyone on board, and we need everyone to realize how this issue is intergenerational, intersectional. It affects transportation, it affects the energy sector, it affects healthcare. So that's what we're trying to bring to light.
Do you think that the politicians and corporations that facilitate the politicians' policies on climate are starting to come around? Are these big players feeling any pressure, do you think?
I do think there's pressure because, our generation, my generation, Gen Z, is the largest generation that is going to be able to vote in a few years. And when we march, when we strike, we actually say we vote next. We say we strike today and we vote tomorrow. And that is actually a huge amount of pressure on politicians that are not making the right decisions. 2 months ago, I testified at City Hall in New York City so that the city would declare a climate emergency. And what I said was, you are aware of most of the statistics that are going on. Like the fact that 2.2 million residents in the city had a power outage because of Hurricane Sandy. And I said, you know about the statistics, but something that you seem to forget is that the government is supposed to protect our best interest, and that interest is a healthy planet. So politicians have to respond to us because the government is for the people. And we are asking you, asking the government to actually care about our future, our present, and the future of our kids.
Don't you get a little frustrated with the slowness of change? I know I do. There are a lot of climate deniers out there. How do you feel about climate deniers? And what do you say to a person like that who may say to you, it's just a natural cycle of things, or you're just being manipulated by some adults?
So I actually had a very long talk with a climate denier about 2 weeks ago. And how I deal with it is by really bringing up how climate change hits every single issue that we're facing. So he told me that he doesn't believe that the planet is warming because of us. He said that the planet just warms in cycles and that we're in one of those cycles. After I explained the science, of course. And then he said, what about pollution? You know, air pollution, water pollution, the earthquakes that are coming from fracking and natural gas usage. So that is how I deal with a climate denier, by actually bringing up how all their issues intersect with the crisis. If you don't believe in the warming, then isn't it good to move towards clean energy if we're going to get rid of all the pollution that we have? You know, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in the Pacific is 4 times bigger than the U.S. And we cannot keep just producing trash and dumping it in the ocean because we're destroying our species. This is an ecological crisis as well. So that's how I deal with a climate denier, by bringing up all the other issues that constitute this emergency.
So did you have any luck changing this particular denier's mind?
I did not. But the person I was with said, this is the longest time I've ever seen him in dialogue about the climate crisis. And, you know, if you get people to think about it, and if you get them to wonder, is it actually happening, or what is actually wrong with our system of pollution and consumption? And that is already a change. And, you know, I'm citing Greta Thunberg here. Greta said that she was asked, how do you deal with a climate denier? And she said, I don't. Which also spoke to me, because we are in a time where we don't have the time to try to convince people, but we need to keep moving forward. And it's proven that 3.5% of the population is only 3.5% of a population is needed to enact massive social change.
So what you want to do is spend your time getting those who do buy into the problem to start doing things, right?
Yes.
Are you going to vote in 1 year?
Yes, our generation, it is the largest generation that is going to be able to vote. And we are aware of the crisis because it's happening to us.
You're listening to Digging in the Dirt, and we're talking to 17-year-old Shiye Bastida, a climate justice activist with the Fridays for Future movement. That's right, Shiye, isn't it? It's more of a movement than an organization.
Fridays for Future is a movement, and it's decentralized, and it has no hierarchy. And that is the power of our movement, that really anyone can plug in. And we have the Climate Strike Coalition, which is composed of more than 6 youth-led groups, including Sunrise Movement, Extinction Rebellion Youth, Future Coalition. And we have the Adult Coalition, which is all the adults that want to help us, including 350, People's Climate Movement, Hip Hop Caucus, and many more. So this is September 20th is when everyone is coming together, and that is what is so, that gives me hope. Action is what's giving me hope right now.
Oh yeah, I see that Greenpeace and 350.org and the SEIU and many more organizations are involved in this upcoming strike on September 20th. You're expecting millions to come out that day. Is it just confined to some major cities in this country, or is it all over the place?
Yeah, so if you visit strikewithus.org, you can see our map. And in the map, you can see that we have strikes all over the world. And specifically in the U.S., we are having strikes across the country. And in New York City, it's actually going to be very special because Greta Thunberg is coming and joining us. And that is because on September 23rd, we have the UN Climate Summit, and she's been invited to that. So we are having the strike be on September 20th to urge our international leaders to take bold action on the climate crisis.
I also understand that this action is going to go on for a full week after the initial strike date.
Yes, so the strike itself is not going to go on for a few weeks, but we have something that is called Climate Week, Climate Action Week. So there's going to be things happening every day of the week. So on the 23rd is the Climate Action, the Climate Summit at the UN. And then we are also going to engage in nonviolent direct action with groups like Extinction Rebellion. And there's going to be... On September 27th, Earth Strike is having a general strike where labor unions are involved. So this is really going to go on for a full week. And this calendar is also going to be available at strikewithus.org so that people can see where they can best plug in.
So you're telling us that we have about 10 years to get it together and stop our carbon polluting ways so humanity can slow down and reverse the damage we're doing to this planet. What are you most worried about? In 10 years, you'll be 27. In 20 years, you'll be 37. These climate changes, if they happen as predicted, will be directly affecting you and your generation in the prime of your lives.
That is why the climate crisis is such a big issue for me, because it is about generations and about young people now being in the prime of their life if we don't do something right now. And we have 10 and a half years, basically, to cut our emissions so that we don't go into that irreversible like chain reactions that are going to make the climate crisis worse by making floods happen more often. And, the melting of the ice caps is already happening, and the wildfires are already all over Russia and Siberia right now.
So what would you say to someone listening out there that is perfectly fine with them the way things are going? What's wrong with a little bit of warming? What would you say to that person who says, hey, I'm not going to be here anyway. What do I care? What would you say to that guy?
So it is about young people and how they are going to be maybe not even wanting to bring kids of their own to the world. But this is also about justice and how marginalized communities are already being the most affected, the people least responsible for creating, for polluting the earth, are the ones who are being affected the most. And that is why we have to address that right now. It's about a just transition into renewable energy jobs. It's about mitigation and adaptation and really putting frontline communities on the front and giving young people a place on the table. What I would say to a person like that is, this is not only about every single issue that we're facing right now, but this is also about morality. And you have a moral, it's about moral accountability. And whatever you care about is going to be affected by climate change. And also what I want to tell them is, if the reason why you don't want to support us, just question yourself and ask, what is that reason? If it's about science, there's this wonderful book, it's called Drawdown, and it gives you the most comprehensive solutions to solve the climate crisis. If this is about how you won't be affected, just ask, how are children going to be affected? And my community, how is my community going to be affected if there's thousands of climate refugees coming in? Sadly, a lot of people just care about money, but if you do care about money, just think about how much money you would be saving if we prevent the climate crisis from getting worse. So, for example, Hurricane Sandy costed $132 billion. And if hurricanes like this can be prevented, then we must do it if for whatever reason is most important to you.
What kind of things would you and your movement like to see enacted immediately to mitigate the problems arising from the warming of the planet?
So we do have a few like general demands. One of the main ones is keep fossil fuels in the ground. That is what we need to do. Just stop extracting fossil fuels. Then we also need to trap all the carbon that is on the atmosphere. So right now we have 410 parts per million, and we need to get to 350 parts per million for it to be safe for us. So it's also about planting trees to get the carbon to come down. So, and it's also about a just transition to 100% renewable energy, and energy that, you know, that works for people. You know, Greta Thunberg said this: the climate crisis has already been solved. We just have to implement the solutions that we have. Because we do have a lot of technologies that we could use to just stop our fossil fuel emissions and our carbon emissions. And the last thing is, there's two more things that I would like to see implemented, which is climate education. Education is a big factor of what's going on, and a lot of people get their first taste of the world through school. And the last thing is, there's already victims of the crisis, and we need to help those victims and understand that it's no one's fault, but we all need to be held accountable.
Let me ask you about Greta Thunberg. Have you met her yet?
She doesn't fly, because flying gives, you know, has a very large carbon footprint. So I've never met her, but she is coming into New York, and she's getting here by the end of August. So I'm with Fridays for Future, with the core team of Fridays for Future NYC. So we are going to have a lot of events together, and we're going to get to meet her and show her the city and just be involved in all the amazing work that she's doing.
Was she responsible for inspiring you to get involved and do something?
Yes. When I heard about her, I was 16, and she was 16 as well. And I thought, she's so young, and she's doing such amazing work with such an amazing ethic and moral compass. And if she can do it, I can do it. And what I also like to tell people is, if we can do it, you can do it. Because there's there's no one person who doesn't have a climate story or that can be affected by climate change. And we all need to step up and really hit every level of accountability, from your local government to your state government, federal government, and follow international agreements.
My final question for my guests is usually, are you optimistic? Are you optimistic that humanity can get it together in time and not go past that tipping point?
So I am optimistic, and I want to say 2019 was the year in which everyone came together to solve this crisis that we're facing. Because, you know, I do believe that in the future we are not going to have fossil fuels. And in the future, I am going to be able to go to the woods and have the same experience that I have today. And that is because I want to be able to go out to the woods and say, you know, this is even better than what I had when I was younger. And see all the coral reefs rehealed. And I am optimistic because I see how engaged you young people are right now, and I see how eager adults are to help. Right now it's just about raising awareness for those who have not heard about it, and there is always a way to plug in and make your voice heard.
Well, you give me optimism, Shiye, because if the youth out there are anything like you, then our future is in good hands.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Today, my guest has been 17-year-old Shiye Bastida, a climate justice activist with Fridays for Future movement, who is organizing a worldwide strike on September 20th to push our leaders for action on the climate crisis. So one more time, why don't you give everyone the contact info for the September 20th action, Shiye? Where can we go to find out more information on where and what is going to happen on September 20th?
So on September 20th, we're going to have an international youth-led climate strike. And you can find more information on strikewithus.org to see your local strike area. And we invite you to mobilize your school and your community. And the point of this strike is that we really want it to be intergenerational, intersectional, and united. Because September 20th is not a goal. September 20th is a catalyst for future action. It's going to be a catalyst for people to engage in what's going on in the world, and it's going to be a catalyst for the culmination of thousands of climate activists that won't stop fighting until the climate crisis is reversed.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Shia Bastida of Fridays for Future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Digging in the dirt. I'm digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.